morning. Good morning, everybody. How does Tov? I want this is a special dedication for this year. You'll see on your sheet it says that this year is given in memory of Harold Vogel, Yisrael Ben Yehuda. Olav HaShalom. He died the beginning of the week. The Levaya was in Toronto on Sunday. And I want to tell you a little about who he is. He is the father of Bonnie Silver. Now, Bonnie Silver is the almana of Avram Silver. This school is the Avram Silver Jerusalem College for Adults. I want to tell you about the Silvers. When Avram was still alive, big Baal Chesed, big Baal Tzedakah, Ohei Veretz Yisrael and Torah Yisrael. He was the one who helped me build the shul in Har Nof. And the shul in Har Nof is called Kehilat Zichron Yosef, in memory of his father, Yossel Silver, one of the important and significant individuals in Toronto. We have a number of Torontonians here this morning. Only coincidentally, Yossel Silver was of a previous generation. And Avram, Olav HaShalom, dedicated, and Bonnie dedicated the school in memory of Avram's father. Bonnie's father is Yisrael Ben Yehuda Vogel, with a wonderful name. We were very, very good friends, I would say. There aren't too many people whom I could talk with who sort of, we just happened to agree on everything. I think many people today agree with me, but there was a time that not many people agreed with me. But he was a staunch Eretz Yisrael Hashlema person. He was 97 years old. Tayri. A tata is always a tata. And so now, in connection with that, I'm not going to be here next week. There's definitely going to be somebody extremely good in my place. I'm going in Hashem to Toronto tomorrow night in order to be Menachem Avil on behalf of myself, my wife, and of course the Israel Center and the Avram Silver Jerusalem College for Adults, and we can even throw in Kehilat Zichron Yosef. And from here we send our Nichum Avelim to the entire family, Amokum Yenachem Otam, and most probably when I go tomorrow, I'm taking the video of this share with me. That's also going with me. Incidentally, these videos are by Thursday morning. They're on my website, and they are also sent to the OU. You can get it off the OU website. There's the Parashat HaShavua from Yerushalayim every week. But the important thing is, wonderful Jew, Harold Vogel, Olav HaShalom, Bonnie's father. We send our very heartfelt condolences to the family. Parsha Vayigash. But we're going to start back there in the case. We start there in the case. Because I sort of dropped a few questions last week. And I got all of the normal and usual reactions that I get to that question. Everybody knows the answer. Everybody knows the answer. So first of all, I want to tell you the question is far profounder and far deeper. I spoke about it a number of years ago. I gave one answer. I will repeat that with an addition. But I hope the most important thing is to move into great things that were said by the Vilna Gaon and then elaborated on by Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk that shed a completely different kind of light on the whole story of Yosef and his brothers, and most specifically the idea that when the brothers come to Yosef, it says Vayaker Yosef et Echov, Yosef recognized his brothers Vehein Lo Ki Ruhu, and they didn't recognize him. And they didn't recognize him until the moment that we will see at the beginning of Parshat Vayigash. Reluctantly, he reveals his identity then. And I know what you're all going to tell me. My question is, why didn't they recognize him? Oh, they didn't expect it. They didn't expect to see this Yosef being the... He didn't have a beard. He did have a beard. And everybody will tell me stories about two brothers who saw each other after 60 years and didn't recognize themselves. We're talking about 20 years over here. I want to point out to you that all of these answers, all these things you think are answers, I say it with great respect, Garnish. They are not answers. Especially in view of the fact that Yosef is dropping hints all over the place. Parashat Miketzer and Vayigash, until he reveals himself, are strewn with all sorts. He's just about putting the words into their mouths. So don't tell me your stories about he did have a beard, he didn't have a beard. I know that Rashi says it, don't get me wrong. I know that Rashi says it. The only thing that Rashi means when he says that he recognized his brothers and they didn't recognize him is that they didn't recognize him at precisely this first moment when they meet him. But that's not an excuse why they don't remember him over the many months and the conversations and all the crises that take place between them. And furthermore, I also said that on the contrary, with a beard, they should indeed recognize him, because Rashi himself says that Yosef looked like Yaakov. So what kind of Yaakov did he look like? He looked like Yaakov with a beard. When they are standing and looking at Yosef, they are looking at the image of their father. And it doesn't occur to him. I mean, how many times do we meet people say, you know, you look like such and such. Forgive me, but you know, my wife likes to do these things, and I think she's crazy, and you know, she's always right. Yeah, you're right, I am related to him. I'm his third cousin, five times cool. Yeah, I look like him. Okay. She's good. She's very good at Jewish geography and Jewish whatever you call it. He is going to be throwing hints at them all the time, and they don't recognize him. Let's begin with the sheet. And you're going to have to, as I always say, hold the finger from class, because we're going to have to be moving around over here. Number one, this is from last week's Seder. Yaakov saw that there are provisions, there's food in Egypt. And Yaakov says to his sons, why should you make yourselves conspicuous? Vayomer, he said, I've heard that there's food in Egypt. Go down there and purchase for us from there. The nichye, we will live, v'lo namut. And the brothers of Joseph went down, 10 of them went down, to buy grain in Egypt. Binyamin, the brother of Yosef, Yaakov did not send with them because he was afraid, God forbid, something's going to happen to Binyamin. So he has lost Yosef, and he will have lost Binyamin. Because he said, there's going to be a tragedy. Vayavol b'nei Yisrael, the children of Israel came with these brothers, Havoyim, to buy amongst those who were coming from the whole world. They were coming from the whole ancient world. They were coming to Mitzrayim in order to buy food. Vayavol achayyesu, the brothers of Israel came, they bowed down to him. Vayar Yosef et Echad. These are the crucial psukim. Yosef saw his brothers by Yachirem, and he recognized them. Vayitnaker alehem, and he acted like a stranger to them. He didn't do what we might have thought would come naturally. Reuven, Shimon, Ray, landslide. I haven't seen a good Jewish face in who knows how many years. No. Yosef does not make his identity known. He spoke to them harsh words. And he said to them, and they said, we've come from Eretz Kanaan, Lishbor Ochel, to buy food. This great pasuk is the subject of this year. Vayakher Yosef et Echol. Yosef recognized his brothers. Lo hikiru. They didn't recognize him. They will not recognize him, regardless of everything that Yosef does in order to elicit from them a response of, "Hey, this is Yosef." No response. Vayishkor Yosef et Echolomot. Yosef remembered the dreams that he had dreamt about them, and he said to them, "Meraglim atem, you are spies. Lirot et erbat haaretz batem, you've come to see the nakedness of this land." Now, you know, we read it so simply. All 10 of them know that this is an absolute libel. All 10 of them know that this is absolute lie. This accusation is false. That should have already begun to ring the bells. Why does this man accuse us of being meraglim? Why? All right, so Rashi, I would say, so, you know, the 10 of them came in through 10 different gates into the Zion. And so I imagine at the passport control, they begin to see here is a Reuven ben Yaakov, and there's a Shimon ben Yaakov, and a Yehuda ben Yaakov. They put them all together and they say, "Hey, something's going on over here." So Rashi says that he told them to go into 10 different gates so that they should not have an Ayin Hari understanding. 10 strong, tall Israelis coming into its diet. Now, what did my mother Lashon used to say? That our vaz and afar, you understand? We have to wear a red bendela. Yeah. So they go through 10 different entrances. Furthermore, Medrash of course says that they entered through 10 different entrances because they came to find Yosef. They came to find him. They're looking for him. And you know what's going to happen? They're looking for him, and they're looking at him, and they don't recognize him. So here, they know that it's one big falsehood. They start asking themselves the question, what is this guy doing? Why is he doing this? What's his angle? Is there anybody in Mitzrayim who might not like us? And then, as I said last week, the biggest story in the ancient world was the rise of a Hebrew slave to such a position of near absolute power in Egypt. This wasn't a hidden story that nobody knew about. Everything took place in the palace before all of the wise men, the press, everybody was there. He takes him through the streets. Everybody knows Hebrew slave has become the brothers don't know this. They're standing before Hebrew slave. Watch, we're going to see later that it becomes even more intense. Watch this, okay? They said, no, my master, it's not so. We came, we're innocent people. We came here to buy food. We came to buy food for our families. We are all the Kulon B'nei Yishechod Nachnu. We are all the sons of one man. We're honest people. We're not spies. Well, Yomer Aleim, and he says, he repeats it now for the second time. Hal Cheshmin, he says, "Lo, ki erbat ha'aretz batem lirot." You've come to see the nakedness of the land. Does he explain why he says it? On what basis? Did you find anything on us that leave the impression that we are spies? Doesn't explain a thing. No. And they said, "We're 12 servants, brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan, and behold, the youngest one, the smallest, is with our father, Hayom, boy, Echod, and Nano, and one isn't. One is gone." By Yomer Aleim Yosef, I don't understand this passage. By Yomer Aleim Yosef, Yosef said to them, "Who should he bar to Aleichem?" Precisely, that's exactly what I said to you. your spies. Do me a favor. What did they just say that should indicate that they're spies? And now he accuses them of being spies to Erdogan, to Zweitenmal, and now to Drittenmal, the third time. It makes far less sense the third time than it did the first two times. Shouldn't they be thinking, what's going on over here? What's happening? Ah, okay. This is going to be your test. I swear by Karo. In Tetsu Mizef, you'll ever get out of here. This is the way it's going to take place. If your young brother comes here, give me a break. Poad, you're going to get out of prison if your young brother comes to the Oval Office. Make sense? What's that going to prove? What's that going to prove? And by the way, he wouldn't let Poad out even if his young brother came. What kind of proof is this that they're not spies? This is your test. Shouldn't they be thinking now, why does this guy want our little kid brother? And that's going to prove that we are not spies. Basically, we have to read the stories like we never read them before in our lives. Big proof. Can you imagine getting up to court in law? These people are not spies. Their younger brother is here someplace in the courtroom. Oh, younger brother's here in the courtroom? I spies. What's going on, for heaven's sake? Shilchu mikem echad, send one, v'yikachat afichem v'atem heyosru, send one of you back to bring the brother, the rest of you are going to be incarcerated, you'll be put in prison, v'yibachanu divrechem, and your words will be tested, if the truth is with you, you'll bring your brother then. Obviously, people who bring their little baby brother, those are not spies. Vim lo, and if not, chai paro, I swear by Paro's life. Kimiraglinathem, you are spies. Rashi, of course, says that whenever he swore falsely, he swore by Paro's neck. This oath of Gehat Azar, you know, Azar Tam, the man that silver, you understand. If he wants to lie, he says, I swear by Paro. Watch this. He takes him into prison for 3 days. On the third day, Yosef says to them, Zotasu v'chiyu, do this and live. Et ha'elokim ani yoreh. I fear God. In other words, you know what he says? Yes, Hashem, Bezal Hashem, Zodorai, to mention some healthy, you know, Heilig of Hashem in Himmel, I fear Him. What was that? The way they talked in the streets of ancient Egypt? Who could be saying this? Why don't they immediately say, that's Yosef. You're playing games with us over here. We know who you are. Paro would have said that. Who would have said that? That doesn't hit them over the head like a ton of bricks. And then, Im Kenem Atem? Nochawatam Achichem Echad Yehosi. It's changing. One of your brothers will be imprisoned. Vatem Lechu Havim Sheva Ravon Batechem. You understand? These guys have come to undermine and destroy Egypt. They are spies. They're undercover agents. This is the KBG and every other Fashlugana secret society in the world. And this fellow is sending them away, you understand? He's sending them away. And not only that, he's concerned that they should bring food for their family. Is this the way you deal with spies? Do you? This is how you deal with spies? Should have taken them out at dawn. Then execute them, finished. He's worried about Ravon Batechem, the hunger of their home. V'etachichem akotom, is it the fourth time already? Your small brother to Vielai? And again, V'yeonu Debrechem, then I will know that your words
You bring your little brother and you're not spied. Never heard of him. Velotomulsen. And you will not die. Payasuke. Vayomruish. Here comes the. These are the great psukim where they finally. And what, this makes it even more difficult. They accuse the spies. They assume that this fellow, Safanat Paneach, doesn't know Hebrew. So the brothers, all at once, in unison, 22 years after their crime, we are guilty about our brother, our flesh and blood. We didn't listen when he cried to us. That, do you understand? What's at the top of their mind 22 years later? Yosef. They're thinking about Yosef all the time. The man is standing in front of them. He's pleading to be recognized by them. And then Reuven says, I told you, should not have laid your hand on that boy. You didn't listen. Now his blood is being sought. They come in 10 different gates because they're looking for Yosef. Anything that happens to them, they attribute to what they did to Yosef. And this fellow, Tzofnas Paneach, will know that they are not spies if they bring their little brother. You have to have a problem not to be able to see that the one who's here in front of you is indeed your brother. And they don't get it. Let's take another piece. On a number of occasions, Yosef is brought to tears. He washed his face. And he came out by it apeik, and he controlled himself. By the way, this is already the second time that they've returned, and they've returned with Binyamin. Now, another interesting thing that took place in the meanwhile, when he sent them home, he took one brother and put one brother in prison and will hold him as hostage until they return. Who did he take?
Shimon.
Shouldn't that have set off? Why didn't he choose the oldest, the youngest, the middle one? Shimon. He chooses Shimon. They were the two who wanted him killed. He knows that. Rashi tells us that he also knows the story. Rashi brings that he questioned them, what you're doing here? Why did you come in through 10 different gates? So I told you the first shot in Rashi, which was that Yaakov told them go into 10 different gates and there shouldn't be an Ayin Hara. And Rashi gives another shot saying that they came to find Yosef. They spread out over Egypt. And they told him, you know what, we came in because we're looking for our baby brother. We think he's being held someplace in Egypt. And what'll happen if you find him, he asks them. Tzofnas Paneach. What happens if you find your brother? So he says, we'll pay all the money in the world to get him back. What happens if they're not going to release him even for all the money in the world? So they said, we'll destroy them all and wipe them out. So he says, so I'm right that you are your spies. You came to kill or be killed. Then he takes one brother and puts him in jail, and that's Shimon. It's a very significant choice. The brothers should have immediately picked up on the choice of Shimon. Like, how is this guy so smart to pick the fellow who... And because he told them also, Rashi says, I heard about two of your guys wiped out a city called Shem. Pretty interesting. Nothing. They don't recognize. They don't get it. They don't get it. And then watch this. Number two. He says, bring bread. In other words, start the Suda. He has invited them to the Suda. And this, of course, in and of itself is already this whole story about the fact that they're going to eat dinner with him. Dinner with him? I don't know. Man, how many spies do you know have been guests for dinner? In the State Department. In the CIA in Langley. Guests for dinner. Spies? I don't get it. And then watch this. This was probably will shake all of you who don't believe that what I'm saying is so. This will have to make all the difference. He says, he tells the servants to bring in food. Vayosimu lo levado, v'lehem levadam. Tzafas paneach was served separately, and they were served separately. V'la mitzvim ha'ochlim ito, and the Egyptians who were eating with him, they also received separate food. Because the Egyptians can't eat together with Hebrews. You see? So they understand why they're being served separately. But why is this guy Tzofnas Paneach being served separately? He must be a Hebrew. And they still don't get it. They should have said to me, hey, Mr. Lansman, you're a Hebrew from Kinster, wie bist du geboren, where were you born, where do you come from, who are your parents? I don't know. Kito Eva Hilmetzheim. It's an abomination for Egypt to eat with Hebrews. Vayesh Lufana. And then they have place cards, and they sit before him. Habachor Bechorato. Vatsa'ir Kitzirato. They are all seated according to chronological order, according to their birthdays. Aren't they looking around at each other? Who could know this information? Who in all of its kind could know this information? And they still don't get it. They don't recognize it. Vayit Muhu Anoshin, here it says for the first time, they were amazed, or they wondered. What's happening? Yeah. The men looked at one another in astonishment. So what's the next step? What should be the next step after astonishment? You arrive at certain conclusions. There's only one way to explain all of these strange things that they've been seeing up until now. Everything can be answered in one word. Yosef. This fellow is Yosef. And it doesn't happen. And watch, if that's not enough hitting them on the head and throwing all sorts of hints. They brought portions. I don't know if each one of them gets one sufganiyah, then Binyamin gets five sufganiyah. And they're watching this, and they see it. This doesn't make any difference to them either. Vayishkiru imo. They drank, and they got, I say, a little high. So maybe it was Purim. What do we eat on Purim? What are you eating on Purim? Chetloch? There isn't a special food for Purim? Alright, let's leave it at Chanuk. It's much easier. They all have one sufganiyah, and he has five sufganiyah. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I can continue on with about at least seven or eight more, but I think I have made my point.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think that there's anybody now who's going to start asking me, they didn't imagine that their brother would be the one. He left without a beard, and now he has a beard. These are not excuses at all. Something extremely profound and significant is taking place over here. Then, of course, when we come into this week's Sedra, by Yigash. So the first part of the Yigash is Yehuda, who's standing there, and Yehuda says, I'm not gone without my brother Binyamin.
And by the way, we didn't even mention the fact that they find all their money returned in their sacks. That doesn't mean anything. That shouldn't have raised all sorts of questions in their minds. And what about the idea that the cup of Tzafnat Paneach ends up in Binyamin's sack? What? Binyamin? What are you talking about? Binyamin is Binyamin HaTzadik. The Gemara says about Binyamin, he was one of the four people who never sinned in his lifetime. He stole the cup. It's a put up job, the whole thing. It's being framed. We're all being framed. Why is this guy framing us, drinking with us, eating with us? At the Lekim Aniyah.
Yeah,
they... Stop it now. I'm not going to overdo it. Now, after Yehuda finishes his great plea, by the way, there's something very strange about the plea. It's very moving, it's very powerful. He is ready to do everything and anything for his little brother. He's not going to leave him there. He's going to stay. He will be enslaved for the rest of his life. You know, and Yosef is listening to all of this. It must be mixed emotions. Very mixed emotions. Listen, Yehuda, I know who you are. For some strange reason, you don't know who I am. You know, you weren't talking like this when they sold me to the Egyptians 22 years ago. But right, he doesn't say anything. Lo yochol Yosef litapek. Yosef was unable to control himself. Lechol ha'nitzavim alav. Vayikron, he called out, Hotziu kol ish me'olai. Remove everybody from here, and nobody stood there below. Amad ishi tovit vaday Yosef elachav. There was nobody standing there when Yosef made himself known to his brothers. The simple meaning over here, if we're able to look at this pasuk and see what the pasuk is saying, the only reason why he reveals himself is because he couldn't control himself anymore. What happens if he could have controlled himself? You know what? He would have kept this charade up. What more does the man want? Haven't they proven already that their strong feelings for a brother, they're ready to stay behind the servants of us. What more does the man want? So we said a few years ago, you know what he wanted? You know what he wanted? He wanted one thing, that this whole painful episode should end not with him saying, I knew Yosef, but them saying, that's all he wants. Did his brothers recognize him? Have they drummed him so much out of their neshama and out of their consciousness? They don't recognize him. What was it that he said to that man 22 years older that found him wandering through the field outside of Shechem? And it would seem as though the whole divine plan is about to collapse. And a man appears to him. Man appears to him and asks him, What do you want? He said, Et achai anochi mevakesh. I seek my brothers. That's what he wants in all these parashas. He just wants to renew the brotherhood. That's all he wants. And therefore he's dropping all these hints. He doesn't want to end this by saying, Hey fellas, I'm Yosef. No! He wants it to end by them saying, Our dear, beloved brother, Yosef. They never recognized him. So what troubled me for years after that? The kasha is so good, you need an answer. And I tell you, I never found an answer. Now I didn't find an answer. I found nobody who even asked the question except one sefer. One sefer. A sefer written by my nephew, Rav Doron David Gold, one of the big mashgichim in the Litvisha world, the Yeshivisha world today. He's great. He's terrific. It's the genes. Okay? He's great. But he doesn't come to the same conclusion I came. We part company when it comes to the answer. But he asked the question.
So why didn't they recognize him? So now I wrote two things. The brother, Hashem is punishing the brothers and is punishing Yosef. More than anything, Yosef, you want that your brothers should say, you're our brother Yosef. No, no. Never forget that in this whole unfolding tragedy of the last 22 years, you were also guilty. You were also guilty. You didn't have to go around telling your dreams of grander visions. They were true. You didn't conduct yourself properly. So Yosef cannot get that which he yearned for more than anything else, that they should tell him, you're our brother. The brothers, I think their einish is worse. Their einish is that for the rest of their lives, they're going to get up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat. How is it possible that we didn't recognize Yosef? He's sitting there in front of us. He looks like the Tata. He's been throwing all sorts of hints at us, and we didn't get it. You know what they're going to learn from this? What sin or what hatred to a brother can bring to. They're going to be haunted by Yosef until the end of their lives. The purpose of it all being that Yosef will do tshuva shleima, and they will do tshuva shleima, and that's why Sefer Bereishis is able to end with this family finally fully united. In the process of becoming a family, they suffer. They suffer terribly. These were years of terrible suffering. You know what I say? If I would be Rav Shimon ben Yochai, famous statement of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, the Asholosh Matanis Tovus are three great gifts that God gave to the Jewish people, and each one of them was acquired through suffering. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. All the great things, the great gifts in life are only come through suffering. You have to work at it. You have to work at it. No gift is given by God right into your lap. It's yours. You have to work for it. He's creating Klal Yisrael also. Like a baby that's born in pains, these are the labor pains. The relationship between the brothers, the labor pains of a great, great people. And they're going to learn. They're going to learn that in the final analysis, their strength is going to come only by being united. They need to learn that today too. It's one of the big, big things we have to learn over here. Fact is, don't get, overwhelmed by all the stuff that you read in the newspapers. In the newspapers, you understand, women are nothing but nothing in this country. They're enslaved. They're very, 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 and especially what the Haredim, no perspective whatsoever. A few Mishugoyim and there's a crisis already. There's only one crisis in the Jewish world today. That's Iran. And below Iran you have Hamas right next door. And the PLO, Fatah of it. Those are the real crises. Mivels of Geben and AC, you understand? We're going to learn. It'll take a little time, For 2,000 years we didn't have to live with each other. For 2,000 years everyone was able to be his own little mentor. Now all of a sudden we're here in a country and we all have to live together. And we're doing a pretty good job. Don't tell me that all those fashmugger countries in this whole Middle East have done a better job than us. We're the biggest success story in 2,000 years. We're the only state that came into being as a result of the United Nations that's a healthy, strong one. And a healthy, strong organism is able to fight off the antibodies of the Tzavos. We'll get over it. Talk to yourself. Okay, so folks, all right, wait a minute. I'm left with only 15 minutes to tell you. So we may even divide it into two shiurim, but we're going to start. This is an awesome Gaon of Vilna. And that's great passage, Vayakher Yosef, number 4. Vayakher Yosef, the Sefer Vahim, Lo Hikiru. Yosef recognized his brothers, and they didn't recognize him. Zohi Achat Mitchunatov She Yosef. The Vilna Gaon says this is one of the components of the nature of Yosef. What is it? V'lo rak b'doro, ki im b'chol dor v'dor. That Yosef recognizes his brothers, but they don't recognize him, is true in every generation. Watch. Asher hu Moshiach ben Yosef, makir et echav, v'hem lo makirim oto. There is something you may not be aware of. Everybody says, you know, when Mashiach comes. I just got it last night at a wedding, you know, that I was talking to a bunch of fellows in Chutzarot, you know, that's the easiest thing to aggravate me on. Yeah, I saw these guys, living there, so I have to get it, man. So the woman seems to have to get it, that's one thing, but he says, no, I'm not coming up till after Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, you're going to see me. So I told him that, the Chazanish, Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Reb Shlomo Zalman, all hold that there's a mitzvah today to live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. I was in the mood to start with somebody like that. I haven't had a good fight in a long time. Okay.
Since the last one, yeah.
Everybody is aware of only one Mashiach, Mashiach ben David. But there's another, there's Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef. And Mashiach ben Yosef is not simply some kind of Kabbalah, you understand? Mashiach ben Yosef appears a few times in Gemara. Gemara in Sukkah, a Gemara in Megillah, there's a Mashiach ben Yosef. The Mashiach ben Yosef is the one who prepares the groundwork and sets the stage for the ultimate coming of Mashiach ben David. And by the way, we're going to see right away, you know what one of the important things that Mashiach ben Yosef does? He brings Jews back. Kibbutz Goyos is the job of Mashiach ben Yosef. And this guy last night at this wedding was trying to tell me, no, there's no Kibbutz Goyos until after Mashiach ben David comes. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But right, I'm afraid to say that there are many people who don't know what they're talking about. The Vilna Gaon says the tragedy is Mashiach ben Yosef knows his brothers, but they can see Mashiach ben Yosef before their very eyes, and they don't recognize him. People can see Yerushalayim in a way in which it never was in all history. They can see 6 million Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, the largest Jewish community in the world today. They can see, yes, I don't know, you know, sometimes I read the business page, they're getting very worried about the very low rate of unemployment in the country. maybe if I retire, so there'll be a little bit more unemployment. Like it's something not good to have, not to have so much unemployment. Don't ask questions. That's the way it is. So he says, but it's a terrible tragedy that there are those people who can see the process of redemption taking place before their very eyes. They don't see it. And then, of course, you know what when you talk to them about it and you tell them, listen, there are great things happening here. No! What's the refrain? My Enid look already know. Ben Gurion Herzl. Herzl Ben Gurion. That can't mean nothing. Awesome what we are living through here. These are the words of the God. This is not gold. If I would have lived before him, he would have gotten it from me. I said, who? Mashiach ben Yosef, makir et achav. Mashiach ben Yosef knows his brothers, v'hem lo makirim oto. They don't recognize him. And the Gros says, umaisis satan ho. It's the satan hamastir et tchunotav shel Mashiach ben Yosef. The satan comes in and he blinds the eyes so that we do not see Mashiach ben Yosef. Shein makirim oto, that people don't see him. The ikvus Mashiach, when the footsteps of the Mashiach can never be heard. The gam mezalzel behem v'avon etenu adam. Not only that, they make short shrift and they simply reject all the great things that are happening. Such awesome blindness. I walk around every day. I just wrote it to somebody yesterday. There's a great Rashi at the end of Parshas Bo, where Rashi says, you're supposed to look at Eretz Yisrael as though that gift was given to you today. Every day, you have to look at it as though it was given you today, and it's not some kind of an inheritance that you got. You have to feel the power and the sanctity and the greatness of the gift of Eretz Yisrael every day. Now watch what he says. Ki lule zot hayakfar keitz l'tzarotenu. If people would recognize what Mashiach ben Yosef is doing before us, before our very eyes, there would have been an end to our tzaras. Then the Gaon says, v'ilu ha'yusra makirim et Yosef, would Israel recognize Yosef, hainu ikvos de ben Yosef mishicha, if they would recognize and they would see and they would perceive the footsteps of the son of Yosef, the Mashiach, shehem kibbutz golios. He does kibbutz golios. He's the one that brings the exiles together. We already have passed the period of Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef is in charge, and here is where Rav Kook is going to take over. So I'm going to have to just, we'll tell you a little bit, and we'll do number five. And then number six is going to be on the same side, we're on the second side, number five. Hapulot shall keep its Goliath. These are the words of the Vilna Gaon, written by one of his Talmidim. The acts involved in the ingathering of the exiles in Eretz Yisrael, Bechlau, in Eretz Yisrael, all of Eretz Yisrael, Ubi Yerushalayim Bifrat, those of us who are said to live here in Yerushalayim, Kol Pulot, Pulat, Lalit, Upratit, every general act and personal act, the Chol Tzad V'Shal Shal HaKlal V'Prat, and every footstep that is taken by the Klal, by the Prat, Tluyo B'Kiyumo V'Hatzlachato Shal Mashiach Ben Yosef. Everything depends on the success of Mashiach Ben Yosef. He's the one who's doing it. He's building the economy. He has built the agriculture in this country. He's brought people back here. He's made it possible for people to come. And this is very, very important. V'hatzlachato v'kiyumo v'hatzlachato shel Mashiach ben Yosef. What is it that gives him success? Tluyim, it all depends on itaruta delitata. Itaruta delitata means an awakening from below. Has to come from us. Mashiach is not going to walk over to anybody and give him a ticket on El Al. A finished economy class. He's not. It has to come from us. Our ability to rise to the challenge is that which gives Mashiach ben Yosef his power. But we have to be able to see him. Said Hallel today. Whenever I say Hallel, I come to the great psuk in Zehayom, also Hashem, Makilov, and Yisrael, both. This is the day that God has made. Let us be happy on this day. I think of that Rashi at the end of Parshas Bo. Convention gave us Eretz Yisrael. But we have Tzaras. David HaMelech was a brilliant one. Right after he says Zahya Mas Hashem Nabila Nisbahobo, we cry out, Ama Hashem Hashiyama Rabbi Shalom. He gave us great gifts, but everything is in great danger. There's a whole world out there against us. Ama Hashem Hashiyama. Ama Hashem Hatzlichama. In one of my more inspiring moments, I said that the only person who can cry out to God, Ono Hashem Hoshana, please God save us, the only one who can cry out that way to him is somebody who's able to say in the fullness of his neshama, Sehayom, Osa Hashem, Nogilo Vinisbechobo. If you recognize what's happening, if you thank God for the great gifts that he has given to this generation, then you're okay in his book. Then you can turn to him and say, Ono Hashem Hoshana. But if you walk around on Yom HaAtzmaut with your nose in the ground and you fast, you say kiddush, and it's Eicha Day. Now, I'm going to give you in 5 minutes, I'm going to give you the basic approach of Rav Kook to our whole period, and it's all based on the Vilna Gaon. A human being is made of two parts, guf and neshama. There's the physical human being, and then there is his spirit, the neshama that God gave into us. Elukah, neshama shanasata bi Torah, atobarasai after atobarasai. What is true about the individual is true about the nation. The nation has a guf, a body, a physical entity, and it has a neshama. The general rule is you can have a healthy neshama in a healthy guf. You have to have a guf. Because our cook is asking, why do I need two Mashiachs? What do I need two Mashiachs for? Not enough Mashiachs and David. He says, no, each one has his own assignment. The assignment of Mashiach ben Yosef, by the way, who's the one that keeps the world and the family of Yaakov and his brothers alive? Who's the Mashbir l'chol Eretz Mitzrayim? Who's the one that's providing for their physical safety and sustenance and strength? It's Yosef. You know who is the Hashiva, the one who has the power of instilling great Jewish spirit into the Jewish people? That's Yehuda. In this Seder it says that Yehuda sholach lefanav, when Yaakov is on his way down to Mitzrayim, he sends Yehuda ahead to set up a yeshiva. Moshe ben Yosef is the one who's concerned about the physical strength and health of a Jewish people. Yes. Agriculture, economy, bringing Jews back, an army. All of this is Mashiach ben Yosef. And as Rav Kook was wont to say, imagine a building with two floors. You have the komat karka, the bottom floor, and then you have the floor above it. The bottom floor is Yosef. The bottom floor you can't have 100,000 people sitting and learning here if there is no economic infrastructure. Mashiach ben Yosef is the economy. He is the physical strength and might of the Jewish people. And on top of that is built by Mashiach ben David, the spirit of the Jewish people. We're going to have to learn the words of Rav Kook. There's so much in it. But the basic thrust of the idea is, if we would recognize the importance of what Yosef does, Moshe ben Yosef, and the corollary, if the Yehuda people would recognize the contribution of Yosef, and the Yosef people would recognize the contribution of the Yehuda people, this would be the greatest country on the face of this earth. Both groups reject and deny each other. Except, of course, there's some kind of a landing in between the first floor and the second floor, And that's the Dati, the Umi world, the world of Yeshivot is there. You understand? You have them someplace in the middle. They recognize the greatness of Yosef, and they're involved in the greatness of Yosef. And they also recognize the greatness of Yehuda. If the two communities that are trying to establish themselves together in this country would understand what they each owe one another, this would be a Gan Eden on the face of this earth. At this point, it's not yet there. I am convinced that we are getting there. However, I am convinced that we are getting there. And we're going to get there because if we don't, we have to get there. We're not going to get there, we're going to tear ourselves apart. We're going to get there. But that's clearly what the Rosh did over here. Long before major waves of Jewish immigration came here, the land had already begun to give out its fruit. This is all Mashiach ben Yosef. And what comes after Mashiach ben Yosef is Mashiach ben David. But the tragedy, the Vilna Goyen said, is Vayake Yosef Hesekov, the Hain Lodi Kidu. They don't all see that what's happening over here is part of a divine process. But the end is, I told this to the American ambassador, Dan Shapiro. I told you I was there 2 weeks ago by Dan Shapiro, the American ambassador to Israel. No, he was talking about the two states, Palestinians, he didn't have it. He said, listen, there is a divine process that's been taking place here for 100 years. That divine process was not made in order to create a Palestinian state.
For sure.
The divine process was in order to bring Jews from all over the world back to Eretz Yisrael and create over here Am Echad, the Tov Eretz Yisrael. And with all of the plans, with all of the suggestions from the Geneva this and the Arab that, said Gornish Helfen, the end is there's nothing in the world that's going to frustrate God's divine plan. So the ambassador said, I don't start up with divine plan. Chag Sameach, everybody.